Well, my dad, who watches our podcast.
Oh, awesome.
Decided that we needed to eat his bread on the podcast. In our further devolution to completely being a mukbang, he watched the ice cream episode, mm-hmm. and he watched the Hot Ones episode, and he said, well, you need to eat my bread.
Yeah.
And he is a master chef.
And a master baker.
Yes.
His bread is excellent.
And he has no formal culinary training, but he was president or vice president of a culinary arts school at one point.
Mm.
So there is that. And yeah. he just loves baking bread. It's one of his
and
things.
And he drops in here to Cosmere House four mm-hmm. or five, six times a year and bakes bread for everybody.
Yep.
An important thing that our listeners need to know about your dad is that when I started working here, he said, oh, hey, you're visiting today? And I said, no. I actually work here now. And he said, well, it's about time this company hired a good writer.
My dad is quick with a joke. He's quite good at that.
Mm-hmm.
We thought, rather than just only ranking the bread or things like that, we would talk about our parents. Yeah. We haven't done that on the podcast. Kind of have a conversation about that. And I told my dad, as he sent us his various different types of bread for us to taste test on air, that he should slip in there. The worst store-bought bread that he could find. I think he sent McKenna to go.
To go and buy terrible store-bought bread.
Terrible store-bought bread. And he bragged to me up there that he had some bad ones. So
okay.
The question is going to be, Dan Wells, can you tell the difference between my dad's master chef amazing bread and store-bought bread?
I sure hope so. Mm. Do you know which ones are which?
No, but I've had his bread so many times.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, so some bread has arrived. Oh, we just have these two.
Are these the same one, or are these two different breads? Same bread, right?
So I was told this is a jalapeno cheese.
Okay, mm-hmm. And one of them is store-bought, and one of them is Win.
Is that the case?
Yes.
Okay, all right. My dad is deciding how we're going to do this. We just said, follow whatever my dad says. Well, that's pretty obvious to me.
Yeah, I definitely have my suspicions.
Your suspicions. So there's one of the breads, and here is another one of the breads.
Okay, not having eaten them yet, I'm going to guess this long, flat one is store-bought.
Mm.
I took too big a bite of this.
Mm. Bread's a little harder to talk around.
I know.
Than ice cream.
Mm. Well,
one of those is much better than the other.
I haven't tried the second one yet. Hang on. Got to pop my little lactate. Okay. Yeah, there's no contest. The long, flat one is crappy store-bought bread, and this kind of thick one is Win.
Yep. He also puts cheese in his, and I don't think the other one really has it. It has it all, like, on the
top.
Well,
the other one has cheese and jalapenos on the top.
Yeah.
And the bread itself doesn't really have any flavor at all,
mm-hmm.
whereas his has got cheese and jalapenos mixed all through the dough. Very even distribution. I've seen British Bake Off.
Yep. No soggy bottom.
No soggy bottom.
It took him a while to figure out.
Not on the bread.
How to figure out how to get this to work in a way that didn't get mushy in the center.
Well, he's done a fine job.
Okay. So I've talked a lot
awesome.
About my parents before, but
mm-hmm.
my dad is named Win. My middle name is Win.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, I considered going as Win Sanderson for my pen name just because it's so distinctive. My mom's name, Barbara. I think she's been on my live streams before. She, before retiring, was an accountant for the city of Idaho Falls. My dad, a businessman. Half of his life was in franchise development, putting like various food franchises in malls. There was a pizza place that he worked for, Pizza by the Slice. They had we'd have to get him on here. And they had hundreds of stores around the country. And then after that, he became president of a college that had a culinary school and worked there for a while and then moved to various colleges, like for-profit colleges and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What about your parents?
My dad's name is Robert Wells, mm-hmm. Robert Curl Wells. He also has kind of an interesting middle name.
That is a cool middle name.
That is his mother's maiden name.
Mm.
He worked at a number of different places. And at all of them, he kept telling me, this is why you need to get a college degree. Salt Lake City has a couple of different stores that all belong to a company called Bennett's Paint and Glass.
Okay.
And my grandparents and my dad all worked there for a while, and my dad hated it. He wanted to be doing something other than just selling people paint. He's a very good painter because of that. But he always said, you need to get a real job. And then he eventually ended up working for a company called Hercules that's out here in the West Desert that does solid rocket propellant and rockets and things. But he does not have the engineering degree. So he was doing the same job as the engineers and getting paid less because he didn't have the degree. So again, he kept saying, you need to get a college degree. And then I got an English degree and I'm an author. So that's how I have honored my father's legacy.
It's kind of interesting. You did get the degree and then go work for, like, you had multiple jobs. You worked for Nu Skin.
Mm-hmm.
You worked for Nu Ways. But you also, didn't you work for the exercise company?
I did. Yeah. Icon Health and Fitness, largest employer in the state. Worked for them for 11 months.
They're the largest employer in the state?
The largest, they might be the largest non-university employer.
Okay.
But they are, at least at the time I worked there, which was a very long time ago. Largest. Yeah. My mom's name is Patty.
Mm-hmm.
Patricia, but she hates Patricia. And she is awesome. All of my humor and my love of reading comes from my mom.
Are either of them like weird murder people?
Neither of them are weird murder people, but my mom has MS and has been bedbound off and on my entire life. And so she has a very dark sense of humor.
Okay.
And so as an illustration, here's an example of who my mom is and how awesome she is. My best friend in high school, her mother died last year. And so I went to the funeral, and while at the viewing, I was texting my family saying, oh, they did this and they did this, and making jokes like, I'm going to get this kind of coffin for mom and dad when they die. And then I asked, which one of you do you think is going to die first? And my mom's answer was, we're going out together and there won't be enough left to bury. So I don't know what she has planned, but that's my mom in a nutshell. And she does listen to this show. So,
okay. Okay.
Mom, I love you. You're awesome.
So we have another bread here.
Okay.
So
I'm
going to
guess these are dill breads.
Is this my dad's or is this store?
I can tell just by the crust, but.
Mm. This isn't much of a taste test, is it?
I mean, they did get the worst breads they could find, right?
They did. It was more funny that way.
I keep taking really huge bites of bread.
Mm.
So fill the time while I chew this.
Wow. This is one of my favorite kinds of bread.
I had never actually had dill bread until Wynn started making it for us.
It has just a little bit of flavor to the fluffy, like white bread. So you don't necessarily need anything on it. And I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
Another kind of perfect bake from Dad there. It's not overcooked on the bottom, but it's not squishy in the middle. That was also a hard one because he does a lot of his baking in Idaho, and he would come down here to bake for us, and the cooking times were different because the elevation was different.
Oh, interesting.
And so he had trouble with the dill bread in particular being uncooked in the center. It made him very upset.
They always talk about that in recipes, like depending on where you are or your microwave's settings, you might have to change how this works. And A, I rarely ever cook outside of my own home, so I've never run into that. And B, I don't know anyone who knows how to change the settings on their microwave. You just cook everything at high. That's how microwaves work. Anyway, I don't, like, this is the Wynn bread and this is the other bread.
I think they're both Wynn breads.
Are they?
I think he tricked us on this one. I think they're just they're just the same slice, sliced in half.
Okay.
Oh, here he is. Those are both you, right, Dad?
Yes.
It's not a store-bought one.
That's the sheriff's idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, have you tried everything? How was the baguettes?
We haven't had the baguettes yet.
Oh, well, you have to have the baguettes before.
We haven't had the ciabatta either.
Oh, yeah. You don't have.
We talk a lot.
We're halfway through.
Here we go. Baguettes.
We have a mic for you. If you want to, be mic'd.
All mic'd up. Mm-hmm. Talk about yourself.
All right. Now the real challenge. My dad's specialty is baguette. Can you tell the difference between my dad's baguette and the store-bought baguette? Which is which? It's really hard to tell, Dad, which of these.
I can't help it if Let's see what Dan thinks.
It's
you have a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah, I do. It's real hard to tell. This is a deep mystery. I'll tell
Dan. What have you tried so far? How was the, have you tried the dill?
Mm-hmm.
We did the
and
dill.
How was the dill?
We complimented it. It wasn't soggy here. The least bit in the center.
If you step over right here behind me, you'll show up on that camera.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the dill is made with dill and onion, but also it's cottage cheese. So you've got to be careful. It can't be too wet or else the cottage cheese will explode.
Mm.
What do you think, Dan?
Which one's which?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you're on the spot.
Yeah, this is a hard one. I'm
going back to Idaho.
I know.
This is a hard one.
This is a hard one. Break them apart and look at the center of the two of them. One of them is light and fluffy, and the other one...
I know. This one is like a solid rock.
Well, that's the one I did.
Mm-hmm.
You disappointed me. I'm not going to make
tell.
Any...
The thing is, I enjoyed them both for different reasons.
Well, tell me the reasons, because...
This one has a really good flavor once I chewed on it enough. Is this yours?
No.
Good. Okay. This one I loved. This one you tricked me with the bottom because I thought he didn't get this texture on the bottom. That came from something else.
Okay. What have you got over there, Ethan?
This ciabatta.
Okay.
So, Dad, yep. You'll find this funny. I came up from the gym today and saw a baguette on the counter.
You did not eat that.
And I'm like, oh, my
That's
dad's baguette.
Special.
I know. I got it, a slice of it, and I went home, and I put butter on it. I took one bite, and I'm like, oh, this is gross.
Okay,
what happened?
Before we get to the ciabatta, I want you to test these two. Take one of each.
Okay.
They're both made by me. Take one of each.
Okay.
There oh, yeah. Go. This is a difficult one. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to tell
well,
that.
Well, I'm going to explain to you the difference.
Yeah. Okay.
This is my old traditional, and it's good, if you'll notice.
Mm-hmm.
But that, what I did is I use a machine on that. About 5 to 7 minutes, I will knead it with a machine, and then I'll set it aside for 3 hours, and then I'll proof it for about 35, 40 minutes, then I'll cook it. So taste that.
Okay, I just did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's okay.
It's
and
good.
Brandon, I'm giving Brandon that for a long time. Now, this is my new venture. If you eat
this one,
you'll see how beautiful it looks. It looks just like a baguette you get in France.
Mm-hmm.
Say yes.
Yes, it does. Look at the crust on this. This is phenomenal.
Now, what I do with that is when you do the regular bread, that's 1.5 teaspoons of yeast. What I do now, you should have more flavor in this one, okay?
There's a lot more.
Because it sits. I make that at night. I stir it up, but I don't stir it a lot. I only use 1/2 teaspoon of yeast, and I let it sit 12 to 14 hours. And so that should give you a little bit more of a tang almost in between a regular piece of bread and sourdough. But I don't like sourdough, okay? This is also better for your stomach. And then what I do is for over 3 hours, I'll stretch and fold it so you get more air in it. Now, the other thing that I've been doing is it's got T55 French flour in it.
Okay.
So it's got no GMOs in it. It's got more ash in it and more chemicals in it. And I blend that with our flour, and that's why you get a different texture to it. So
well,
I hope, if you can't tell the difference, I'm not going to go through all that work.
No, it's significantly better. They're both good, but the new one...
New one
has
is better.
A better texture on the outside and the inside. It's very good.
If you want to try some butter on it or prosciutto or brie, you'll know the difference immediately.
Brie? Of course, Donald's the one that brings the brie.
So why don't you put some butter or some brie on the T55?
Okay. Here.
Again, what baguettes are for in France is to put something on them. And Brandon will eat straight butter.
Stealing one of these.
And this is European butter. It has less water in it.
And usually less salt, which is...
And less salt.
But fortunately...
But Brandon has his own salt shaker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think?
Very good.
Now, Adam would know exactly. He's made a comment that he likes this new bread better, right?
Well, I like all bread, but new bread is great.
When did you first start making bread, Dad?
Well, when I was running a campus, we had the first Le Cordon Bleu franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I would go down and compete with Le French chef.
Le Cordon Bleu being the French culinary school that they did a branch school, over here.
And we had the first one in the United States that we actually franchised.
Mm-hmm.
The French are very
you have a chair now.
Persnickety. Mm-hmm. We had everything done. We had to follow all of their rules. And I speak a little bit of French, but we had everything done. We had the kitchen. We had all the recipes. They just fly this guy in, and he will not let us start. This is a typical French. And we had students ready to enroll in 4 weeks. You know why he was upset?
Why?
Because the bleu was not royal.
Oh.
We had, even though they sent us a patch of what kind of color, we went and matched it. We had to fly in 6 gallons of bleu royal. So that at about $2,000.
Wow.
That he flew back.
Paint?
Paint. And then we had to paint it, and he came back and said, la voila, c'est parfait.
Okay. I was going to say it was because you didn't have berets, but this was even more ridiculous.
The French hate
berets.
You've
topped me.
No, no. You wear a beret, you're a tourist. Okay, now we have Brandon's.
Just,
when he told me that when he went out with Emily, what, the first time?
One of the early times, yeah.
He did ciabatta with herbs in it. Mm-hmm. And this is a ciabatta, which is a little bit different formula than French bread. It's got more hydration, it's got a little herbs in it, and it's got just a little bit of oil.
My mouth is still full of prosciutto and baguette. Hang on.
Some rosemary in that, which is what
there
I like.
There's rosemary in there, yes.
You can't ask me to pick out which one is his when he's sitting right here next
They're
to me.
They're all mine.
They're all yours.
Good. Because I was like, this one's really good. And if I say it's good and it's not his, then I'm going to get in trouble.
I was hoping to get you put on the spot. That's why I was doing
well,
this.
Well, I only found a baguette that was bad. And
the
jalapeno.
Yeah. The jalapeno was extra bad.
I don't think anybody would eat that.
It was not good.
There was like one jalapeno on the top
of
the crust.
Well, my jalapeno, you mix the jalapeno in the dough in the mixer as well as the cheese. Okay?
These are both great. I like this one more, but they're both awesome.
They're from the same loaf.
Okay.
Out of all the bread you've eaten, what is your favorite?
I win. It might be this one.
Ciabatta is good.
There's a lot of really good flavor. The herb really comes through on this one.
Today, it's the new baguette, Dad. It's my favorite. I have a different favorite every day, though.
Well, last time I was down here, it was the dill.
Mm-hmm. I do really like the dill.
Well, I like the combination with the French flour. Mm-hmm. It really aerates it more, and it's a little harder to work with. It's completely different. It's a sticky dough. So. Okay.
Awesome.
Well,
thanks,
awesome.
Dad.
Thank you so much.
This was very cool.
And let this serve as an example to everyone that wants us to eat their food. We will eat your food.
So, your wife is here. Is she ever worried about gifts that people give you as an author? That they're going to be laced with cyanide or, you know, things like that?
I don't know. Do you worry about that? No.
Yeah, I should. I was going to say, not till now.
She's worried now.
Emily always worries.
Mm.
Those sorts of things. Like a fan will show up with cookies. I'm like, oh, good, cookies. She's like, you can't eat those. I'm like, as I have three stuffed in my mouth, I'm like, what? They're good, they're cookies. Scar panics every time I do something like that as well.
Panics is strong.
Very, very overemphasized. I don't think I've seen Scar panic despite all the dumb things I've done, but it is, it is fun to.
A couple of days ago, maybe it was just yesterday, I came into work. Mm-hmm. And Mem, who handles all the mail, had left a package and two letters on my desk that people had sent me.
Yep.
And I went to open one of them with my letter opener, and it was already open on the side. And I realized, oh, I work for a real company now. Someone's vetting the mail to make sure that it's safe. Because at home, yeah, I just eat the cookies. I don't know. No one sends me cookies, though. That's the thing.
Really? We need to get Anna Dalla to send you cookies. She sends cookies to all the fantasy authors when they have a new book come out.
Oh. Well, that's the thing. I have not yet published a fantasy novel, unless we count Dark One Forgotten.
Yep.
No, people give me art. I have many, many portraits and things of John Cleaver that people have given me.
Do they give you, like, bloody implements of death?
No. If somebody gave me a bloody weapon, I would give it to the police. At Dragonsteel Convention last year, somebody gave me a dragon made of pipe cleaners,
okay,
which they had made, and it was awesome. And, of course, somebody rolled up with a huge box of ding-dongs, and they made me sign a contract first stating that I would not hold them liable for any cavities I got.
Clever.
Yeah.
Very clever. So did you grow up in Salt Lake? Where did you grow up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was born in the Avenues,
okay,
and we lived in Kearns for a while. When I was 3 years old, my parents moved to Sugar House.
Uh-huh.
This was way back in the day.
Those are both pretty fancy regions.
Well, Kearns is not.
No, but the Avenues.
Avenues is, yeah. But, you know, we lived in like a one-room apartment in the Avenues, plus, you know, in the 70s. Sugar House today is incredibly fancy.
Yeah.
I know my parents could sell their home for a lot more than it's worth right now, but they have determined to stay in it.
Okay.
And they still live there. The house that they moved into when I was three, they still live in. Eventually, I would like them to move into my house because I know we're going to need to take care of them. But right now, they're still doing stuff and they're awesome.
So I am. Grew up in two houses. We moved when I was like 9 or 10, both in Lincoln, Nebraska. So we had a smaller home, and then things started to go well with my dad's business, and so we moved into a larger home. And so in that larger home, I had my own room.
Ooh.
It was a big deal when I got to have my own room.
I have never in my life, except I guess before my brother was born, never had my own room.
Really?
Always shared a room with Rob, and then, you know, went on a mission, had a companion, went to college, had a roommate, got married, have Dawn. Never had my own room.
That's interesting, because I had my own room at 10, and then, obviously on a mission, you don't have your own room, but when I got back from mission, I made sure to get an apartment with my own room and never had a roommate after that until I got married.
Huh. Well.
So.
I don't know what I would do. It would be like being in a hotel, which is weird.
Don't you go to hotels a lot?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you just have this big room all to yourself. And you're like, well, what am I supposed to do with this?
So my room in Nebraska, I had my own room. And then my sister Jane, you know, Jane, who seems more like she was born of rainbows and sunshine than of human beings, but Jane came along, and so she got the third room. There were three kids' bedrooms and then my parents' master. Mm-hmm. But then Lauren, the accident, came along, and they're like, well, we can't really put the baby with anybody, so either you guys are going to have to move into a room together, or Brandon, you can move into the unfinished loft above the garage. That almost was like a separate apartment, because you'd come in from the garage and turn left, and there was a set of steps up into this loft. And the loft was probably like 1,500 square feet. Mm. Like, it was above a three-car garage.
Yeah.
Unfinished. It was meant to kind of be another, like a studio, like if someone needed a studio for painting, or like an apartment, a mother-in-law apartment, but instead of being the basement, there were no doors between it and the rest of the house, even though it shared a wall with the rest of the house. And they're like, I suppose you could move in there. And I was there, right? It had like eight giant floor-to-ceiling picture windows, or whatever you call those, that looked out, and it was on the second floor above the garage. And it was, you know, just a wooden floor and then insulation in the plastic. Mm-hmm. But I got my friend over, and we covered the plastic insulation with butcher paper, which we spray painted like graffiti. And we got some old carpet that, you know, was just without a pad, just cut carpet and threw it in some places, got some old furniture that my parents didn't need anymore and put it up there. And I had, like, honestly, all through high school, my own apartment. It was great.
That's cool.
There was room for like a TV and like a couch and two chairs separate from the bed with all of my dressers and things, separate from a desk, like a big work desk, mm-hmm. and then just a ton of extra space. So I'm used to having lots of space is what I'm saying. When I went to BYU and I had to share a little like closet with another person, mm-hmm. it was maddening for me.
Oh, yeah.
I did not
enjoy
that.
Were you in Deseret Towers?
I was in Helaman Halls.
Helaman, okay. Yeah.
And
which
they,
is just yeah. the same size,
same
I guess.
Same thing. It was just like you could...
It's like living in a locker at the bus station.
Yeah. I mean, you could touch both beds without even stretching your arms out by standing in the center of the room. Mm-hmm. And that was miserable. So there's a reason that I pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed to get a different home when I moved in with Emily. And eventually we ended up at the house and it still wasn't big enough, which is why I built the lair.
Yeah.
Then I finally kind of have the space like I'm used to having now that I have the lair kind of as my office. So
that's awesome.
I just move around a lot when I'm writing. I'll go sit in this chair and that chair. I'll lay over there, stare at the fish tank. So I guess I'm saying I don't understand what you mean by, yeah.
By never having space to yourself. I, right now, as of 3 or so years ago,
mm-hmm.
our youngest is, you know, in school full
yep.
time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the first time in 22, 23 years that we haven't had a baby at home or a little kid at home.
Yeah.
And so that was an incredible day when I realized all the kids are gone and I have the house to myself. And I was like, I don't even know what to do with myself. But I do enjoy it, I admit.
So, there you are. It's not like yeah. a hotel. It's just...
Well, I mean, it's just yeah. the bedroom. Mm-hmm. I don't like sleeping alone. I like having other people in the room. But, you know, I've never not had other people in the room. When I was a kid, we got these huge bookcases. My parents got mm-hmm. them free somewhere. And they're giant, like almost floor to ceiling. And about a foot and a half, 2 feet deep. And they got two of them. And my brother and I had this fairly large room, and they put them in that room kind of back to back. They're probably not as big as I'm remembering because mm-hmm. I was little. But they blocked it off. So there was a little walkway where you could get in. And you come in the door to the bedroom, and there was my brother's bed and his little room. And then these two huge shelves, and you walk past them, and I was back in the corner. That was the most privacy I ever had.
Did you have like a good relationship with your parents growing up, or were you like a troublemaker that eventually came around to?
No, you know? I was an angelic child.
Where are you now?
My parents might tell a different story. I do know that my parents had more trouble with both my siblings than they did with me.
Okay.
I've always been good grades and relatively easy to get along with. Everyone has their, you know, tantrums and things. I do remember I threw a butter knife at my brother one time. But yeah, the one complaint that my mom keeps bringing up is school was always so easy for me as mm-hmm. a kid that she could never get me to try. I was a very solid B plus student
yeah.
because that required zero effort. And getting straight A's would have been work instead of just coasting. And so she was always very frustrated that I wouldn't try to push that B up to an A.
I was the same way, though I started getting the A's once I kind of got this inkling I wanted to be a writer.
Mm-hmm.
It changed my mindset. Like I had a goal. I had a reason to get grades. It was yeah. to get into a good college and things like that. And so, but I understand that feeling. I did that a lot through middle school.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of interesting because I think that's how my son would have been, except COVID causing basically to miss half a year like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been scrambling to catch up ever since. And now he's like underwater. And he was coasting before.
Yeah.
And now suddenly you have to work really hard to just catch up because everything still is messed up since COVID.
Yeah.
And it's been really hard on him.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I graduated with a pretty good GPA. Graduated mm-hmm. high school, I want to say with like a 3.6 or 3.7.
Yeah.
So that takes a lot of A's to get
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And I maintained a 3.5 all through college. because I had a National Merit Scholarship, and that paid for
right.
full tuition for all 3 years that I was in college. But, you know, 3.5, that's easy to maintain.
Depends on the major you're in.
That's true.
3.5 was real easy once I switched to English. It was not so easy in chemistry.
Yeah, I bet.
Like, I barely cleared a 3.0 my first year because getting B's in chemistry and calculus was just... It was a lot of work to get a B. And
yeah.
It was a monumental amount of work to get an A, and I didn't put in that monumental work. But it's like even hard to get C's in a lot of those classes. So.
Yeah, when I look back on college and think of the hard classes, they're all like the GEs. I had to take a stats class. I had to take a geology class. I didn't have to take very many GEs because I had a ton of college credit. But, you know, the English classes, even the ones they said were hard. Did you take the honors critical writing or whatever they call it?
It was easy.
That was a pushover class.
The honors ones were easier, usually.
Yes.
But funner and probably taught me more.
Absolutely.
So don't get me wrong. They were easy in a way that my skill set was well matched to. How about that?
Yeah. Kind of the math that I would always do in my head and what I tell my kids is an honors class is the same as a normal class, but with one less test and one more paper. Mm. And for me, that was...
Yeah.
Exactly what I wanted. Let me write some things. Any class I'm in where if I can convince you I'm right, then I am. That's what I wanted to be studying, which is why I did not enjoy geology and statistics.
My hardest class all through my entire college career, Chinese characters, my Korean Hanja class, because it is strict memorization. Mm. There's nothing to work out. There's nothing to... You know, even in math, you can be like, I think I can work this out, even if I don't quite remember. If you just don't remember what the character means,
you're just out.
And then you have to memorize 2,000 of them. So,
did you get a minor in Korean?
I did.
I started a minor in Spanish
and
absolutely hated every Spanish class I took at BYU.
Yeah, the problem is that at BYU, you have a lot of people who have gone on missions to other countries and they come back and they can't just really. Maybe they should. They can't just really give everybody a minor for free.
Mm-hmm.
It would probably have problems with the accreditation and stuff.
Yeah.
But a person at BYU who's been on a mission to another foreign-speaking country learns the language to minor-level abilities.
Yeah.
And maybe more, right? There's a lot of fluency. If I'd been at any other school, I would have tested out of every class for a minor for Korean.
Mm-hmm.
But you come back to BYU and they're like, well, we need to make this... an actual program. And so the classes are insane. They're like 400 and 500 level classes that everywhere else you're taking is a 200 level class full of everybody else who is fluent that has spent 2 years dedicated only to learning that language, really.
Yeah.
And they're miserable classes for that reason.
They're rough. The big problem with Spanish, on top of what you just described, is, you know, Spanish-speaking countries, they have different accents, different vocabularies, different verb conjugations sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so being incredibly fluent in Mexican Spanish did me virtually nothing for the class where I had an Argentine teacher. And like I was using words for things that were absolutely correct, but not where she grew up. And so, it just drove me up the wall.
That sounds even more aggravating.
Yeah. But oh well.
Oh well. Oh well, Ben.